Morning, everybody.
Morning.
How you doing?
Well.
It's Christmas. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. This is neat, isn't it? It's great. It's fantastic. We love it. We're going to start with 104, please, and let's stand. 104.
Joy to the world. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart to hear him rule. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, Lord. It's rainy, foggy, but it's warm out, Lord. It could be freezing cold, but today you bless us with just a little bit of warmer day. Thanks for getting us here today, Lord, keeping us safe, the good week we've had, Lord, the many things we've gotten accomplished. Lord, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that he came to be sacrificed for us. Thank you for his life here on earth, Lord, and especially now as we're recognizing his birth, Lord. The frail infant that he was, Lord, but he became the man of God, the God-man. Thank you, Lord, for his testimony. I pray today, Lord, that as our pastor speaks, that will be brought out even more today, Lord. Be with us as we study with Pastor, Lord. Guide and direct him, Lord, as he guides us, given the strength he needs. Thank you for this time, Lord, and all that come out today. Just ask that we can get a real blessing out of what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 112, please. 112.
There's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry. And the star rains as far above. We'll sing for the manger of Bethlehem, cradles a king. There's a tumult of joy for the wonderful birth, for the virgin sweet boy is the Lord of the earth. reach out to the lovely evangel they bring, and we greet in his cradle our Savior and King.
Thank you. Three songs a day, 118, please. 118. Tonight, we have a candlelight service scheduled 4 o'clock here at church. Later today, or this week, excuse me, check with Autumn or Sandra on women's Bible study dates there. Christmas Eve candlelight service at 4, already said that. Personal evangelism, the 26th. There's no Wednesday night prayer service this week. You have till the end of the year to complete class for classwork, accountability items for our teachers here in church. And then New Year's Eve, we have our regular morning service again, and we're going to have a 6 o'clock service that night. It'll be a game night that we have with us folks. Pastor's thought for the week, what is the message you have received or need to receive from the account of Christ's birth this year? Also, Secret Sisters Club, if you're in the Secret Sisters Club, please draw a name before you leave this morning. The box is on the back table. Guys, you come forward, we'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time that we can come before you, Lord, and worship here today. Thank you that we're remembering the life of your Son, Lord, who you sent for us. And now, Lord, we're considering gifts, the many, many gifts that you've given us. Now we have a chance to give just a small portion back to you, Lord. I just pray you be with the gift and givers we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I got to take this time to recognize our organist and our pianist. They do this for nothing. They do it for an honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Thank you, man.
And thank you.
Yeah, very much.
Also, I've been asked to read something here. Go ahead. I can get it open. You can see how well prepared I am. Didn't mean to do that, but I did anyway. There we go. Let's see. Wow, this is a really good envelope. Okay. This is from Pastor John and his wife, Kim. Wishing you the love, peace, and happiness that the true meaning of Christmas brings. Fruitland Baptist Church, thanks again to one and all for the generous outpouring of your gifts and love toward us. It's been a joy to serve our Lord with you folks over the years. I truly pray you all will have a joy-filled celebration of the birth of Christ. Again, thanks in his love, Pastor John Kim. Philippians 1, 3 through 6, they got there. So thank you for that, folks. Let's see. Now, Kay's going to play for us. God.
Well, when I was a little girl, I was taught this song, and I guess I probably sang it about every Christmas, I think. But anyway, it tells about what Christmas really means. When I was but a youngster, Christmas meant one thing, that I'd be getting lots of toys that day. I learned a whole lot different when Mother sat me down. She taught me to spell Christmas this way. C is for the Christ child born upon this day. H for herald angels in the night. R means our Redeemer. I is Israel. S is for the star that shone so bright. T is for three wise men, they who traveled far. M is for the manger where he lay. A is for all he stands for. S means shepherds came, and that's why there's a Christmas day. Oh, that's why there's a Christmas day.
Thank you, Kay. You keep doing that as long as the Lord allows it, okay? Every time we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's a beautiful day that God's given us today. And around this season where we celebrate his birth, I trust that your hearts, and yes, I believe young people are dismissed if you'd like to go down at this time for children's church. I trust that your heart is filled with joy this morning at the amazing gift that God gave us through his son, Jesus Christ. And folks, I want to invite you and any others that you can bring or any of our regular attenders back for this evening at 4 o'clock. Well, it's really not this evening. It's late afternoon. It'll be like that, though, on a cloudy day. It's going to be pretty dark. But I invite you back when we are going to look into the gifts, once again, of the manger of Bethlehem and what God brought to us. And so I trust today that your focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. I also want to encourage all of us to not just read or listen to the Christmas story, all that is a good thing, but to actively study it. And I hope to do that a little bit this morning with you. I believe the Bible is an awesome book. It is the ultimate book of information. It's the ultimate book on love. It's a complex book, yet a book that is simple enough that even the least learned person can understand it. Hallelujah, praise God. And I believe with all my heart it is God's Word. It's His communication to man of His love for us through His Son Jesus. So that's where it all revolves around. And this book is deep, folks. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of historical accounts and accuracies that are in it. It is God's Word. I really pray through this season that we'll study it and that God will speak to our hearts. And by the way, folks, during this season when God came as a man, as the babe of Bethlehem, let's not forget to pray for people to be saved and to pray for salvation and that that message would somehow find its way through all the trappings of the season. You know, I think our lives have become very complex today. I think it's so complex that many times Jesus is left out of most of it. And with all the hustle and bustle and trappings that go along with it. And what a shame that is. I'd like to see this place packed on a Christmas Eve day. But this is the world we live in today. But it's a world that Jesus came for. And He knows what's going on. And He loves people. And we better be in that position as well today. Anyway, with that said, the title of our message is indeed The Message from the Manger. And the message from the manger, as I see it in our text today, is that there ought to be glory to God in the highest. Just like the angels sang, we ought to be singing at the top of our lungs today and rejoicing in what Jesus has done for us. I pray that we'll do that this morning as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. But I welcome you again today, one and all. If we have a visitor today, we're glad you're here. We're glad for the activities of this week that have gone by, that God has worked in people's lives. And never discount the power of prayer. By the way, if you come this evening, it's not a long service, usually about a half hour. So it's possible to work that into your busy schedule and give just a little time to meditate on the Christ child today. Well, with that said, we're going to have just a moment or two of silent prayer, and then I'll have a short pastoral prayer. And we're going to dig into Luke chapter 2 this morning. We're going to look at the first 20 verses and the traditional account of the birth of Christ from Dr. Luke. Shall we pray together? Oh God, our Father, we thank You today, Lord, for Your love for us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray today, Father God, that ultimately all people here will recognize who You are through the personalities of Your Son, the God-man, Jesus Christ, Your anointed Messiah that came to earth as a babe in the manger of Bethlehem to die for the sins of the world because You loved us so much, Lord, and then rose again to guarantee us new life. We thank You for Your personality, the Holy Spirit today, Lord, who calls the people to be saved, the wondrous gift that You've given us of all time of salvation. We thank You for the indwelling of the Spirit, too, in the life of the believer. And, Lord, for the guidance, the comfort, the strength, the enablement, and empowering that He brings into the lives of human, sinful flesh here on this earth. Today, Lord, I thank You for all that have gathered. I pray today that You would cleanse our hearts. I'm speaking to mind, first of all, Lord, that You would prepare me to worship You in spirit and in truth. That indeed today we would show You how much we love You. That this would not just be an exercise as we polish the pews, but, Lord, that this would be a time of true, heartfelt adoration and praise for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You for this celebration. We know that mankind has tinkered with it. We don't even have the date right when we celebrate it, Lord. And we could go into all of that. But forgive us, You've even told us in Your Word when You were born, the season, the evidence is there. But Lord, so as with so many things, Your adversary Satan has entered into the picture and people have been deceived. But Lord, we can celebrate Your birth every day. We celebrate it in our lives, Lord, when we've been born again. It's the new birth that You've given us. And I pray today that every person in this auditorium has that. But Lord, I also pray that if there's one who has not, that this would be the day Your Spirit would call them to believe on the name and on the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon Him and be saved. That's how simple it is, Lord. But what a big step that is for many people. Thank You, Lord, that You've helped me, that You called my name years ago to be born into Your family. And now I pray, Lord, for the hearts and souls of the people in this world today, our neighbors right outside of us here, Lord, in the town of Fruitland and Muscatine and surrounding areas, wherever we live, Lord, we have people today
that have not heard the true message and received the message of salvation. Now, Lord, we pray for our flock today. We're down quite a few people for various reasons. It could be illness, Lord. I have no idea what's going on in people's lives today, but I know there are things going on. But I pray today, Lord, you'd quiet our hearts, and for those that listen to this message on the internet, that you'd speak to them. And Lord, we thank you today for the gathering of the local church. Lord, this is where we can bear one another's burdens with each other. We can worship you corporately. We can act for you corporately, Lord, as your institution here for the presentation and of the gospel and the Great Commission. Oh, Lord, strengthen Fruitland Baptist Church for the days ahead, I pray. Now, Lord, again, my heart goes out to those today that may be in need or, Lord, struggling in whatever situation is a part of this broken world. But I pray today that they would feel and that they would receive the healing that is brought through the great physician that was born in the manger of Bethlehem. That's you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, as I illustrate this message, I need your help. You know I'm weak, Lord, but you're strong. My knees tremble whenever I deliver your word. And, Lord, that's an awesome responsibility and task, and I'm not up for it, Lord. I admit that to you. I'm just not where I should be. But I pray, Lord, you'll strengthen me again for another day and that the word will be delivered in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, to worship you. We love you today. Forgive us and cleanse us, Lord. Come alongside us, Holy Spirit, and walk us through this joyous day. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, this morning we will retrace the account of the birth of Jesus that's found recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. It's an interesting thing how airtight the Bible is and the information that it gives us that show us if we are under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and study it and read it and meditate upon it, how airtight and how dynamic that act was that happened there in the manger with the babe of Bethlehem, Jesus. I believe this, folks, that while it is probably not the most dynamic event of history, and I would say that his death on the cross and resurrection was the most dynamic time, we would not have the death and resurrection of Christ if it were not for his birth. And so this is a very important time. But I believe this, folks, with all my heart, that all time is an important time. Today is an important day. And this is not a day to be squandered or to take lightly. But God has a relevance in every day of his grace that he gives us. I pray today we'll feel that and find it and determine it and that we'll walk in it this day from here forward. So it's my contention that this is a great time to study all the supporting evidence that the Bible presents in many other places for the birth of the Savior, that taken together give us great credence that Jesus indeed is the God-man. He's God incarnate, God in the flesh, who came to dwell with us, to tabernacle with us, the Bible says, to live with us. You know, Jesus is not someone who doesn't know what we are going through or have been through, because he lived that very same thing in his 33 years here on earth. Yet he was without sin because he was God. But folks, Jesus knew pain, he knew suffering, he knew sorrow, he knew the things that humanity faced because he bore those things on Calvary's cross for us. We, as the book of Hebrews says in chapter 4, we don't come to a Savior that doesn't know where we've been, because he's been there and done that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That touches me today when I think about that. Anyway, he's the gift of God for the redemption of the penalty of sin for mankind and the victory of new life in his resurrection. Fruitland Baptist Church, hallelujah! We ought to be dancing in the aisle this morning. We ought to be shouting glory to God in the highest. Like we're going to find the shepherds did here in the angelic announcement and proclamation that something dynamic has happened to this world. And folks, I pray that's the case in your life today, that it's dynamic, that it's not just mundane, go through the routine motions, but that it's real and that it's happening in your life today. It's victory, my friends, versus defeat. This morning, though, we'll look at those details of God incarnate come to earth. And as we look through this text this morning, soak in the message of the manger And as I said, today I pray with me, you will say glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Can you and I give glory to God in the highest for Jesus today? I'm going to. Amen. Well, let's go into our scriptures this morning. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. You always start with verse 1, right? Well, not necessarily. But you know, there's some dynamic things here in the birth of Christ and how it all took place. By the way, I challenge you to read throughout the whole scriptures. By the way, the whole Bible is the gospel. It's the good news. It's God's communication with mankind. But to start out, Jesus came, and we learned this in some of our messages here recently. Jesus came in the nick of time. He came at the proper time. He came at the most neediest point in the world. You can think back, he's going to come in his second advent when the world's going to be very needy as well. But in this first advent, he came to meet the needs and was rejected. But here it is, folks. We think we're in turmoil today. And by the way, we are in turmoil in this world. We're in turmoil in this nation called the United States of America. We're in turmoil in our homes. We're in turmoil in our churches. We're in turmoil in any institution that you want to name today. There's strife, there's dissension, there's division, there's heartache, there's people that are saying, I'm done with this. But thank God, he was not done with us. Amen. Praise God. But here's what was going on. It says here, by the way, the Bible is a history book, and it is a definitive history book because it gives facts. But here's what was going on. I got to keep this brief this morning. And it came to pass in those days. By the way, God's whole story is coming to pass before our very eyes. One day, 1 minute, 1 hour at a time. We're going to be rolling into a new year here in just a few days. Isn't it a week from tomorrow? Lord willing, the year of our Lord, 2024. I thought I'd be old when we got to this point. Don, don't you say a word. I saw that grin. What was going on in the days that Jesus was born? Here's a clue. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. There was turmoil in the Roman nation. You can study the Roman Empire. By the way, the Roman Empire is a classic study for nations that fall due to their sin. But here's what was going on. You know, we have a heritage in the Roman Empire in the form of republican government. Now, I'm not talking about political parties, okay? I don't preach politics here at Fruitland, but the Bible talks about them. You can make that decision. I'm not intelligent enough to do that. But what was being dynamically changed here at this point in time is that Rome was changing from the representative republican form of government to an empire. And you know why this happened? It's because a man that we've all studied about named Julius Caesar was the last leader of Rome as a republic. And do you know what happened to Julius Caesar during this time? He was assassinated. And that's where we find the man that's recorded in Scripture that came about as the first emperor of the Roman Empire now, no longer a republic. Who was Caesar? Augustus. Folks, there was turmoil beyond belief in the Roman world of that day, which Israel was a part of that. Israel was occupied by the Roman Empire, okay? And it was a brutal empire. I mentioned last week, and Lord willing, next week we'll come back to finish Matthew 24. Jesus' prophetic teachings, again, about things of the end times. But it's not just his teachings, it's the teachings of others under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that again give us guidance as to what lies ahead. But this was a tumultuous time here in what was now the new Roman Empire. And of course, what goes along with governments? Money, taxes, because governments have to have some way to exist. By the way, God ordained human government, but he only ordained it for two reasons. To restrain evil and promote good. That's the only reasons that he designed human government. But unfortunately, human government is governed by humanistic evil forces, and it gets out of control. Now, you're all thinking what I'm talking about here this morning with taxes is to collect money. Well, that's part of it. Mary and Joseph were headed to pay a poll tax, but that's really not what it was. It's what goes on with our own United States government today. They want to know everything about you. You agree with that, Don? By the way, they know everything about you. If you own a cell phone, they can track you. They know everything you've got. It's recorded, folks. How many of us would want to show our phones today? I think it's one of the greatest things that we've ever had, but it's one of the most tragic things we've ever been given. It's how we use it, folks. That's the bottom line. But what was going on here is the Roman government wanted to keep tabs on people in this occupied nation of Israel, and so they said, hey, you're going to have to register. By the way, there's not one of us in this room that isn't registered with our government today. Okay? I want to hope that that isn't all for bad means, but I'm afraid it could be. And let me tell you, a few people in Israel knew what was going on, and they didn't like it. But you always had the corrupt people, even in Israel, the Herod line here, fell right into that. But that's why Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem. But is that really why they went to Bethlehem? And it's what we need to remember today. God is still working his program, even amidst evil. And he's working that program today, right here in the United States of America. My friends, where are you at on that today? I'm going to tell you, on the basis of the scriptures, we better be on the side of God. You better know him today. You better know his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We better be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because, friends, we need it. Because we're in tumultuous times. I said to a few people this week, I've been talking, some political people have talked to me, and I said, you know what's on the agenda for the United States? And I don't know if you, by the way, I'm not speaking right today. I shouldn't have drank coffee. I wouldn't be a bit surprised with what takes place, and I'm no prophet, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised with what takes place this year in our, or next year in our elections if they come to pass. We'll see civil war in America at some point in our future. You think about that. We haven't had that for 150 years plus. You and I don't know what that would be like in modern day America. You talk about Gaza and the things that are going on over there. It could happen right here in America. But God is at work. And we better be on the right side of him. Tell me to move on. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius, or Quirinius, was governor of Syria, of the province of Syria, which Israel was under that leadership. By the way, historical facts found in the Bible. We got to go. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. You already heard what I said about that. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called? Whenever you see Beth in the Hebrew, think bread. And Bethlehem was a city that had the name, the name Bethlehem meant house of bread. Why in the world would Joseph and Mary be called out of the city of Nazareth down, and I'll get to that in just a minute, to the city of Bethlehem called the house of bread, when Mary is nearly ready to deliver a child? Because Jesus is, I am the bread of life. It all fits together, folks. Absolutely. Because he was of the household and lineage of David. By the way, this didn't all come as a surprise. People that studied the scriptures knew that the prophet Micah in Micah 5:2 said, the Messiah, God's Messiah, is going to be born in a town called... By the way, what was Bethlehem known for? Sheep. I'm surprised that the Hansford youths, well, middle-aged youths, didn't bring that up. They used to have sheep. Why do you suppose the Lamb of God would be born in a place called Bethlehem? See, it all fits, folks. He was of the house and lineage of David. This is all prophesied. 500 years ahead of time, Micah's telling people. To be taxed with Mary, and I believe this again, it was registered. That's a better term for this. They wanted to know who was around. You know, keep control. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. The fact of the matter is, Joseph and Mary were married. And you can read all the context about that history. But their marriage had never been consummated because God intervened to use a vessel named Mary to birth God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. It all adds up. By the way, men, if you want to follow a godly example in the Bible, Joseph is a godly example. I tell you, I wish we knew more about Joseph. I don't know how he died. I don't know what happened. There's some secular accounts of that. But what I know from Scripture is what we need to know that God gave us, because he didn't give us the rest of that account. But Joseph was a godly man. An ungodly man would have ditched Mary. You see, this whole scenario would not have come to pass, but God was working behind the scenes in all of this, that it would come down exactly as he said. Hallelujah, praise God. That's our God, folks, today. To be taxed with Mary being great with child. Now, you all know Kim and I and our relationship. By the way, I have fun with people sometimes. I go into different places and Kim and I might banter. We do a lot of bantering at our place. And I said, you know, to a waitress one day, I said, well, my wife and I are just new in our relationship. We're still kind of testing things out. Oh, have you just gotten? Yeah, going on 46 years. Now, you know Miss Kim and what a sweetheart she is. And by the way, I thank God for Kim. You should too, because you wouldn't have nothing here without Kim. Now, that's not proper grammar. You remember when I went into my English teacher when she turned 90 out of fourth grade? Faith, did you ever hear this? Some of you have. I said, Mrs. McNeil, congratulations on your birthday. I ain't never had a more better teacher than you. She slapped me. And I needed it. If you ask Miss Kim here in her ninth month of pregnancy to take a 70-mile trip on a donkey, very likely it's a donkey anyway, it could have been on foot, but if you ask Miss Kim to take that kind of a trip, what do you suppose her response would be? You heard last week about the Indianapolis thing. I still have marks in my left arm. Don, you're looking. Someone tell him what happened, but we don't have time today because time's getting away from us. We missed the train. We won't go into that again today. I'll tell you at the door. Mary was some kind of a dynamic gal. She knew, though, because God told her, you're carrying the Messiah. And Mary, in her interaction with her cousin Elizabeth, said what? She was just... She was in awe of this awesome... She didn't understand it all, but she was in awe of what God told her through the angel. Mary, you're going to birth the Christ child. They're on their way. By the way, we'll see this later. It wasn't in the winter. It was in the fall. But the fact of the matter is, Mary took a trip like that in that state. And so here's what we find. And so it was that while they were there, verse 6... the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Probably every one of you ladies in here today that's birthed a child will remember the graphic details of every birth. I remember the graphic details of the birth of our oldest daughter, Bethany. Hopefully they'll be here this afternoon. But when we were going through the ahis and the ahus, does any of you know what those are? Yeah, we came through that era. Kim threw ice chips at me. It isn't easy, is it? Don, you okay? I got water up here, man. Huh? Wasn't it ahi, 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 ahu? Autumn, you never had any of that kind of stuff. It's no longer popular. You don't need to speak. I need to... What's that? It did? Okay. By the way, think about this, folks. And how this account, this is not a story, how this account unfolds. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The Greek word for inn is katakaluma. Katakaluma. Forget what you see here. This is a nice thing. It's not biblically accurate, though. Katakaluma, where Jesus was born, he was born in the quarters where the lambs were born, under the house of the family of David. And basically what they said is, hey, the house is full tonight. You can go down into the quarters where the lambs are born. They were underneath the house. That was the typical Middle Eastern design. Kim wouldn't have approved of that either, that you lived above the critters. By the way, we've got mud like you wouldn't believe. Praise God. Isn't this a beautiful, the warmth is beautiful, but the mud is deep. So anyway, but think about this. How does this fit together? Sheep. The Lamb of God. Autumn? The old you, guarding the sheep. That's where it was, the inn, Katakaluma. This was not a hotel, folks. It wasn't even Motel 6. This was the bottom of a house, a Middle Eastern house, of people that bore sheep, that raised sheep. And Jesus was born in that place because there was no room for him where normally people went. Yeah, you've heard these messages every year probably from different people. No room in the inn. But, you know, there's something to that. Would you have accepted Jesus? And we'd all say, oh, yeah, we... No. There was a purpose why he was born where he was born. By the way, Jesus didn't come as a conquering king as that babe in the manger. He came as a servant king. Jesus came to serve. He came to serve you and I. The love of God as a servant. Anyway... Now we look at the shepherds briefly here this morning. But that's where he was born, folks, and why it came to pass the way it did. God answers all those questions. You know, Jesus was the king that people needed, but they were under the authority of the king that they didn't need. And they gave allegiance, in this case, to the Roman government. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds. If you're going to have sheep... You're going to be having shepherds, right? What are shepherds? Shepherds are responsible for the sheep. By the way, there's a little correlation to this with what most people think about farmers. Most people think that farmers are a bunch of rubes. They don't know very much, and maybe they're true for doing this kind of stuff. But you know what? The shepherds, notice what it says here. They were in the same country, shepherds abiding. Shepherds are not quitters. Shepherds care for the sheep. Shepherds don't take their cut out first. They're there to care for the sheep. And notice when the angel approaches them, it says they're abiding in the field. Would you like to be out in the middle of a field in the middle of night with a bunch of sheep? Most people would say no thank you is right. You know that they were cut out of some kind of metal, folks, that's not the common core of what people are. But notice what they were doing there. They were hunkered down in the field, and they were keeping watch over their flocks through the night. And lo, and why do you suppose the angel came to them? Because the rest of the world was what? They were asleep. Jesus is proclaimed from this pulpit on a weekly basis and more, bi-weekly at least, usually three times a week. But where's the world? Some are literally this morning asleep. I mentioned in the Sunday school class this morning, the junior, senior, high class, I'm looking forward to maybe a day this week where I'll do the chores and come in, and Kim and I will sit in the living room and take a rest. But the shepherds were on guard. They were on watch, folks. But let me tell you, there's a lot of people today that are asleep. Maybe not literally, but in the sense of Jesus, They're not taking this as a relevant thing. Anyway, so who's the angel go to? He goes to people that are going to get the job done. And as I was saying earlier, to a great extent, at least in the old days, farmers had to be jacks of all trades. They were not the most ignorant people around. They were some of the sharpest people, even though the general population never saw that. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. By the way, the word angel in the Greek is the word angelos, which means messenger. What these angels were here were annunciators. They were pronouncing a message to the shepherds, who were the guys that were going to be responsible to take this message and do something with it. And the angel said unto them, first of all, by the way, in our modern vernacular, you've heard me say that before, if an angel appears to you, we were talking about Saul when he was converted to Paul this morning in Acts chapter 9. If an angel were to appear to you today with a message like this in a dynamic way, we'd be freaked out. That's the modern vernacular. And so were the shepherds. Can you imagine this? This is not the normal thing on a night on the third shift watching the sheep. The angel comes and they're freaked out. And what's the first thing the angel says? Don't fear. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, meaning they were freaked out. But the angel says, don't fear. By the way, don't fear, Lord, folks, getting involved with the Lord. Don't fear when his messengers, however that comes about. And I would not discount that an angel can appear to you today. And if an angel does, you better be freaked out. And you better listen to what they say. But God has chosen in our day to speak to us through his word. We ought to be freaked out when we hear the word of God. Excited. Awestrucken. And the angel said unto them, fear not. By the way, he said that how many times? The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Folks, the greatest message ever given was given through the shepherds that night on the hills of Judea around Bethlehem. And it was committed to them to bring it to all people. This message of Christ has no discriminatory factors in it at all. Jesus came for everyone. And when he died on the cross of Calvary, everyone can be saved, but not all will. That's a choice he leaves with us, because Jesus doesn't want robots. He wants people to understand who he is and to love him and to accept his gift with a genuine, warm heart in reality. But he gave that responsibility first to the shepherds. But notice here adjectives that go before a noun. Great joy, good tidings, and the prepositional phrase, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. Christ means God's anointed. The Lord God. That word Savior, you know, people get tripped up over that today about people talking about being saved. We ought to, and that's a fine terminology, it comes from Scripture, but being saved means being delivered. Being delivered from death unto life, John 5:24. When we receive Christ, this Messiah, we're passed from death, eternal death, unto eternal life. Hallelujah, praise God. That's the message here. A Savior, a Deliverer. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find. By the way, if you look for Jesus, you'll find him. And this is the mission that was given to the shepherds. Go find that babe. Go find that Deliverer. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, Here's the thing. When Jesus came, it's called the incarnation. Jesus came as a genuine baby. He was fully God, yet without sin. We could discuss that for a day, too. Did Jesus cry when he was hungry? Yes, he did. Did Jesus have fits of anger? No, he did not. No, because he was without sin. Could you imagine what it would have been like to care? You think about this. You don't have to agree on it, but think about it. What would it have been like to have a baby that was perfect? Huh? Did he cry when he was wet? Yeah. But he never threw a tantrum. You think about this. His humanity was shown there in that respect because he still had dirty diapers. Because he was human. By the way, swaddling clothes were just strips of cloth that were wound tightly around an infant. For the reason of what? The transition between the mother's womb and life outside of the womb. It was a tight binding. Isn't this true, ladies? Little children need to have what? Yeah. That's what swaddling clothes or bands were. Lying in a manger. Now, what was the symbolism of the manger? He was there again as a servant. He was not born in affluence. He was born in what? Lowliness, poverty. Yep. And suddenly there was with the angels. By the way, have you heard enough even from this account of Luke to say glory to God? I haven't heard it this morning, but I'm going to say it. Glory to God in the highest. In other words, it doesn't get any better than this. This is God come to rescue man in the form of an infant as the servant king. And like we learned in the last couple of preceding weeks, they missed him. He was insignificant to most people. By the way, if you don't know the Word of God, the things that God places in your path forward will be insignificant, but they may be the most significant thing that you ever do. Someone who wasn't here this morning may have missed a significant thing that God had planned for them by their choice. He doesn't force us. And nothing that takes place is insignificant in God's program. You can think about that. But there they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. God has not got one thing against humanity. I mean, he knows they're sinful, but he wants sinners to be saved. He wants them to be rescued. He wants us to be at peace today. By the way, folks, you know, I'm pretty well at peace with how people say, John, you get all shook up about some of these. I really don't anymore. As God has grown me through the years, I'm not like the Stoics that we were talking about. When was that we were talking about that? Oh, in Bible study, last couple Wednesday nights. I don't face everything with just Stoicism what was her name? Doris Day. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. I don't see it as that, but I see it as an unfolding of God's plan. And you know, whatever he's got planned, it's okay with me. Because I believe he's got it under control. I do. But they gave him praise and glory there that night, the angels, and we ought to do it too. It's the result of the message of Jesus. We ought to be doing that as well. By the way, Jesus came, and we'll find this out this afternoon, he came for the Magi, which were the upper crust, and he came for the shepherds, and that's what's symbolized in this, who people perceive to be the lower crust, but I'll say are a lot sharper than what people might think. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, well, that's over for tonight. Let's go have breakfast later. Nope. When you have had an impact from God, from Almighty God in your life, by the way, I ask you, have you ever had an impact in your life and in mine from God that was dynamic? Well, our salvation should be. But the point of the shepherds is they did what they were told. See it here, folks? They said to one another, let us eventually get into Bethlehem. They said, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. By the way, why was it called a thing? Because Jesus is even called a thing when the angel came to Mary and said this holy thing. Because Jesus can only be described as a thing. It is called the hypostatic union. Why am I having trouble with that this morning? Something that has never before happened and never will again happen, where God and man were one and the same. That's Jesus. That's why in John 3:16 we have, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten," it says in the King James. That's the unique Son. That's the hypostatic union. The God-man. "That whosoever believeth, places their trust in him, shall be saved." It's that simple. Yep. So they said, "Let's see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, it says in the King James, meaning quickly. By the way, folks, it's never soon enough to come to Jesus. It's never soon enough, even if you've been born again in Jesus, to draw closer to him. Because you know what? It ought to be our goal, like like James says in his writing, you know, if we'll draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, "And they came with haste." They did it quickly. "And here again, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." The Lamb of God born in a place for sheep. Catacaluma. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Again, that they had found the Lamb of God. When it talks about abroad here, I believe the message that the shepherds were given and the responsibility that they had was a message that's been heard round the world. It started with faithful people like the shepherds here. And folks, yet today, faithful people will communicate this message of Jesus Christ. In a sense, we have been given the caretaking, and that's part of the job of a shepherd, the caretaking of the evangelistic message of the gospel to give to people about Jesus, the Lamb of God, born in the manger at Bethlehem. By the way, take that responsibility today, not with a shrug or with a, "Oh," but with a, "Hallelujah, glory to God in the highest. I'm a deliverer of peace, goodwill of God toward men." "And all they had heard it," and this is the goal, folks, "wondered at those things." Does your life and mine cause people to wonder? No, they probably wonder about me a lot with some of the ways I operate. But what I'm really concerned is, do we bring a wonderment to people about Jesus Christ through our lives? The shepherds did. Do we cause people to be thirsty or to dry up when it comes to Jesus? Something to think about. "All those that, and when they heard, all had heard it, they wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." You know what? Mary was still at wonderment. Last Sunday, Jason sang what? "Mary, did you know?" Yeah. But Mary, by the time she got to the cross, I think she did know pretty well exactly what was going on in that situation. Last verse this morning. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God." I think there was some back slapping, some high fives, some fist bumping, some hallelujahs. What about it, modern day shepherds of Jesus Christ? "Glory to God in the highest, and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Folks, we've got the most valuable message ever given. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Here's a conclusion. I ask us all this morning, have you, like the shepherds, been convinced by the evidence to believe on and receive the Savior, the Son of God, and his salvation of your soul? Again, I want to bring that to a point today for all of us individually. Have you received Christ as your Savior? The evidence is pretty clear, folks. This all isn't just a fable or a myth. It's documented history. Even secular history has a record that these things took place. Have you, like the shepherd, sought and been found by him who is the good shepherd? And have you given a shoutful praise of glory to God very recently? Glory to God! Thank you, Lord, for the one who has turned doom and despair to hope and celebration, rejoicing and elation, darkness into light, praise into adoration. Folks, that's Jesus. Is he a part of your life? What does Jesus' birth mean to you this season? Remember, he is the reason for the season. Believe on him. That's all the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It means not just to believe he existed, but to trust him that what he came to do has been accomplished and can be applied to your life by asking, by trusting. Believe on him and receive the gift. You know, many of us have either given or will give gifts, but receive the gift of his marvelous salvation. Merry Christmas to all of you. I bring this to you today as we praise God in his name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. Number 216. You know, again, if we're to believe the account of Scripture, and I do, we're going to see Jesus, every one of us in this room. Whether you're a born-again believer or not, you're going to see Jesus. You're going to see him for who he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We'll see that again next week when we look at what's going to come in the future, what Jesus said. Jesus will have eyes of fire in judgment. The great white throne judgment. People are going to have all kinds of excuses. They're going to have all kinds of things they did for Jesus. But folks, it's not about what you did for Jesus. It's about what he's done for you. And have you simply trusted in him, received it, allowed him to apply his perfect blood to cover your imperfect blood? That's what it's all about. We're going to see him. But what will it be like for believers when we see the Lamb of God? Oh, there's accountability there too. But Jesus is going to welcome us home. He's going to welcome us into his sheepfold as the great shepherd, never to be endangered again by the effects of the broken world and Satan. So it's a decision as we leave today, and we'll leave it at that. But today's the time. Now's the opportunity again to receive the babe of the manger, the babe of Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Look into his eyes today, the celebration of the Lamb, the birth of the Lamb of God. Jason, will you dismiss us, please, in prayer?
Showed us where we fell short. And we're loving ourselves.